Right, we left off at the Mishnah yesterday in Daf Mem Vavim Beis on the bottom. Hamocher es atzmo ve'ezbanim la'ovdei kochavim ein podin osor avu podin es abanim la'achar misas avien. If the a guy sells himself and his children as slaves to a non-Jew, so we're not poda him or his children while he's still alive, but after he dies, we'll be poda the children. But we're not poda him. So there's a discussion in the Achronim over here about this ein podin, whether ein podin means asr liftos or ein podin means that there's no mitzvah to be poda, but you're allowed to be poda him. And the two sides are basically as follows. The Seifa says aval podin es b'nei l'achar mitzvah zavien is clearly aval you're chayiv to be poda as the bottom after the father dies. So if the podin in the Seifa means you're chayiv to be poda, the ein podin in the Reisha would seem to mean you're not chayiv to be poda, but that you are allowed to be poda. But the other side of the issue is that that perhaps it's similar to the ein podin that we had by someone who's a captive, and they're charging yosem mikdei damav, they're charging more than his value. So we also said ein podin, and over there the ein podin was not only ein podin you don't have to, over there the ein podin was that you're not allowed to be poda. So that's the machlokas achronim between the mayim chayim and the yad david. The yad david was Rav David Zinsheim, lived in the times of the chassam sofer. So anyway, says the gemara, amar avasi v'hu shamachar v'shino v'shilesh. That's only if he repeatedly did this. He kept on selling himself to non-Jews. So after he's done this three times, we say, you know what, that's it. We're not allowed to, we're not, assuming that ein pod means you're not allowed, we're not allowed to be pod to him anymore. It's not a productive use of our resources to be pod to him. He's just going to go and he's going to sell himself right back anyway. So we're not going to be pod to him if he's done it three times. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Mem Beis writes that that's only true when we're dealing with using with people outside of his own family. But Krovim are chayiv to be poda to him even if he sold himself many times over. The Chassam Sofer writes that even though you have a generally being poda to someone Pidyon Shvuyim is a mitzvah d'oraisa, nevertheless Chacham or Oker Davar Min HaTorah V'shevi Altas over here. Right? Meaning, how could it be that Chacham are going to make a takana that you're not supposed to be poda to someone? You have a mitzvah d'oraisa to be poda to someone. So he says, no, that's part of the koach of the Chacham, to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah V'shevi Altas. Furthermore, he says, maybe you could argue that the whole reason that you have a mitzvah to be poda to somebody in the Torah is that in order that shelo yitma ben ovdei kochavim, they shouldn't get mixed in and become like a guy and get used to living like a guy. But this person, it's not going to help, because you can be poda to him, he's going to go right back anyway. So it's not going to help you any to be poda to him. So maybe there's no mitzvah b'chiyah gavna. Says Gemara Vayter, hanu b'nei b'michsi diyas v'izuzi ovdei kochavim. There were these people who borrowed money from non-Jews, when they didn't have money to pay back, they didn't have the cash to pay back what they owed. So the Goyim came and they took them, they captured them. So they went to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, what do you want me to do? Mishnah says, there's nothing I can do about it. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to be poda to someone who decides to sell himself to Ovdei Kochavim. But no, I thought you taught us that's only if he's done this repeatedly. He hasn't done this repeatedly, so shouldn't we have a mitzvah to be podim? Says, no, these are people who are in the habit of doing this. Now, it's a bit of a difficult answer to understand. What do you mean they're in the habit of doing this? If they're in the habit of doing this, then this would be someone who's done it repeatedly. Obviously, they asked and they said, this is not someone who's done it repeatedly. So either you can understand the answer is, you got the Matthias wrong. He has done this repeatedly and you just didn't know about it. Or you can understand that, no, margul regili da'avdi hachi doesn't mean that they've done this in the past, but that it's their fault. It's they put themselves in situations where they're not going to have a choice but to be taken. Meaning they know that the minhag is that if they don't have money to pay back, the goyim take them as captive. And they still may borrow money that they know there's no chance they're going to have the ability to repay. So it's their own fault. So since it's their own fault and they caused this situation, they brought it upon themselves. So you shouldn't pay for their ransom. Who gavra d'zavin nafshi l'ludai? There was a guy who sold himself to Ludai. Rashi says, who are the Ludai? Uma Sha'olchim B'nai Adam. It's a cannibal nation. So he sold himself to cannibals. Obviously, that's pretty dangerous. Also, Kamed Rabbi Ami. So they went to Rabbi Ami, Amr Lei, Pirkan. So they said to him. So he went to Rabbi Ami. He said, "Please redeem me. I'm being held by cannibals now." So Amar, he told him, "Tanana mocharatz mas banim lo dechavim ein podinosav podinosabanim mishum kilkula v'kol shkain hakadika k'tala." So he said, "Oh, so wait a second. Maybe the svara is not Amar Lay, the Bach takes out the word Lay, because it's the guy asking to be Nifta that's saying this. He's presenting this argument. He says, Amar, look, the Mishnah says that when someone sells himself and his children to the Chavim, we're not poed to them. However, we're poed to the children when after the father dies because of Kilkula. What's Kilkula? That he's going to get mixed in amongst the Gayim and they're going to learn from the ways of the Gayim, right? It's going to be bad for the development of the children. So the kolshkein haha dika ktala. You don't think it's going to be pretty bad for me? I'm with cannibals. They could kill me. It's much worse than the concern that you might have for the children. La achar misa savien. It's interesting. Why are we only putting the children after the father dies, not before the father dies? So Rashi writes in Dibur Maskim Shum Kilkula ubechay avien lekal emechash lahachi demintalun avien, that you don't have to worry bechay avien when the father's still alive. You don't have to worry that they can get mixed in with the Ovdei Kochavim, that they can get mixed in with the Gayim, because the father's there to protect them from that. The father's there to still keep them on the Derech HaYashar. But once the father's gone, then you have to start worrying. So that's an interesting Rashi in the sense that the Chassam Sofer points out, Arvacha Arvatsarich. What do you mean? This is a guy who's been selling himself and his children to Ovdei Kochavim. You really think that he's going to be the guy that's going to be able to keep his children on the right path? Right? He's Machar Vashina Vashilesh, and he wasn't worried about himself and his own Timua Ben Ovdei Kochavim. He's all of a sudden he's going to worry about his children's Timua Ben Ovdei Kochavim. But nevertheless, this reason of Rashi seems to be accepted in Halacha. The Bach in Yerodea, Simration and Nunbeis, and the Shach Sifkatan Vav over there in Simration and Beis also says that if, let's say, he only sold his children and he didn't sell himself, so then the halacha is that you would be poed to the children miyad. You wouldn't wait for him to die. Because if he only sold his children, not himself, he's not there to protect the children from Timua ben Ovdei Kochavim. So apparently we do assume that this pshat is correct, that we're interested in protecting the children from Timua ben Ovdei Kochavim, and we trust the father to do so if he's there. But if he's not there, we can't trust him to do so, obviously, and then we would be poed to the children miyad. But it's unclear to me, and the Chassam Sofer asked the kash, it's unclear exactly how you can trust the father if this father obviously has a track record of being irresponsible. So Amrle Rabban Rabbi Ami, Hay Yisrael Mumer Hu Dekachazule Dekachul Nevel Sutrefos. So the Rabban said to Rabbi Ami, look, he comes with a taina that you should be poed to him, this guy that was taken by the cannibals, that you should be poed to him because it's very dangerous for him. We should just know he's a mumar, and we know that he eats nevels to trefel. So if he's a mumar, maybe you shouldn't be poed to him. So Amar Lahu, Emel L'Teyavon Hu D'Kachli, said, how do you know he's a mumar l'hachis? Maybe he's only a mumar l'teyavon, and therefore what? That's the question. Therefore, I must be poed to him, or therefore I may be poed to him. Right? Meaning mumar l'teyavon. Does that mean that since he's only a mumar l'teyavon, he only does averos because they're enjoyable, and not because he has any ideological problem with Judaism? So does that mean that he's like any other Jew that you have to be poed to? So the Beis Yosef in Yerodea Simin Reishnun Aleph quotes is mid. Daik from a Rambam that there's no iser to be poda mumar l'teyavon, but there's also no chiyuv to be poda mumar l'teyavon. It's your choice. He was trying to be nice about it. He was trying to say, look, maybe there's some excuse, there's some reason why I would be permitted to be poda him, but certainly not chayuv to be poda him. But the Radvaz in Matnas Aniyim Periches Halacha Dalid is medayik from the Rambam the other way. I mean, it's a machlokas in how to understand the Rambam. He's medayik from the Rambam the other way, that there's no chiluk between ochel nevels l'teyavon and any other regular Jew who there's an absolute chiyuv to be poda, and he thinks that's what this Gemara is saying, that l'teyavon u'dukachil, and therefore I'd be chayiv to be poda him. Amrulei, so they said to him, v'hazim n'di'ike heterevi yisur kameh v'shavik heterevachli yisur. They said, look, we know he's not a mumar l'teyavon because sometimes he has the kosher brand and the non-kosher brand right in front of him, and he takes the non-kosher brand. So why would he bidafka take the non-kosher brand when he has the ability to have something kosher if he was only the teyavon? There's no teyavon over there. So amalei zil lo kashavki li da pak da padkinech. So he told the guy, sorry, they're not letting me be poda you. I wish I could help you, but they're coming with all these arguments that I'm not able to be poda you. Which is a strange way of saying things. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, for instance, that after... it's a Mishnah maybe, that after the a Din Torah is over, Dayanim are not allowed to go to a guy and say, look, you know, I was only one of three Dayanim, I voted for you, but they outvoted me. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to, that ruins the whole system. You're not allowed to go and say things like that. It sounds like that's what he's saying over here. Look, I wish I could have been poda you, but they're not letting me. They're coming up with all these riots why I can't be poda you. And also, does he really wish he could have been podim? Once it was established, he was a mumel lahachis. How is it that he could wish he was podim? He's not. What do you mean? He's not allowed to be podim if he's a mumel lahachis. So I'm not sure exactly what the pshat is over here, but the kasha is a kasha. I'm not really sure what the teretz is. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Reish Lakish zavin nafshei l'ludai. Reish Lakish sold himself to Ludai, to cannibals. So Tosa, Reish Lakish sold himself to cannibals? Why would Reish Lakish do something like that? So Tosa says, Kodem shechaza l'mutav. This is before he became Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik. The Mistama lohei mezalza ba'atzma kol kach. Mistama, after he became who he was, who he's known to be, after he became Reish Lakish, Mistama, he wouldn't have done this. He wouldn't have been mezalzel on himself so much. Now, when we read the rest of the story, it's not going to be so obvious that this is before he was Chozo L'Mutav. In fact, the Tiferes Yaakov on the Mishnayos disagrees, and he says, no, that the next story that we're going to have, Reish Lakish, we're going to have two stories. The next story is obviously after he was Chozo L'Mutav. The next story we're going to have is one that happened right before he died. So it was obviously after he was Chozo L'Mutav. So the Mashmaus is, if you're telling back-to-back stories, and you don't indicate that one is before and one is after, Mashmaus is that they're both after. So why would he sell himself to cannibals? So let's see the story. So Shakal Badei Chais of a Galgalta. He brought with him a bag. It looked like a regular bag, but it had a hard rock or inside the bag, a round rock inside the bag. Amar Gemiri the Yama Basra called the Bayiminayu Avdile. He says, you know, we have a tradition. We know that these cannibals, the last day before they're about to eat you, they give you one wish. They give you your last request. And the reason they do that is keichi de lechol adame. What does lechol adame mean? So it's machlokas over here. Rashi says lechol adame sheyum chol adamo. They feel bad that they're killing you. So they figure that if they give you a last request, that way they'll get a mechila for killing you. That will be guilt-free eating of people. Right? In the margin, he quotes from the Masoras HaShas, quotes from the Aruch, that no, Pirush kivin sha'osan lo ritzono mematik damo v'yeshlen botan. They know it sweetens up the person's blood. If the person gets to do something that he likes before he dies, so somehow physiologically it causes some change in his blood and makes his blood sweeter. And they want him to be tasty. They want him to taste good. So they do what he wants before they kill him so that he'll taste good when they eat him. I thought that was pretty wild. But anyway, Yom Basra Amrule, so the last day, they say to him, "My Nichalach, no, what can we do for you?" So Amrulehu, Va'ina Akamtinchu Va'osvinchu. He says, what you can do for me is you can let me tie you up, you know, sitting there, tie you up to chairs. So V'kol Chad Minaychu Amche Chayso Palga. And then I could hit you with this bag 1.5 times, each of you 1.5 times with this bag. So, meaning it looked like an empty bag, so they figured, okay, it's not going to hurt us any, he's just going to hit us with an empty bag. So he tied them up and he sat them down. Each one, when he hit them the first time, now normally nafik nishmasi means they died, but then why would he hit them the second time? So and we'll see, it doesn't seem like they died, but something, they fainted, they passed out, he knocked, what is something? So charkine l'shine, he gnashed his teeth. He said, "You're laughing at me? I still got another half a whip to hit you with." And he killed all of them, nafak v'yasa, and he escaped. So that was his plan, to get rid of this cannibal people by getting them all together, having them sit down, tie themselves up, and he killed them all, and he got away. So he got rid of all these cannibals. So that's the end of the story. Says Gemara, next story involved, there's another way to, the Chasam Sofer has a way to understand the story, Al Derech HaMusar. I'm trying to remember what it was exactly. It was There's something to do, obviously, with the cannibals being the Yetzer Hara, who eat at a person's, you know, it's like they eat the basar of a person in terms of his taivos, and they make him something like that. And I forgot what the whip and a half and all that is. You could look in the Chassam Sofer, I don't remember. So Yasuf Ka'achu Vashasi, so Rish Lakish, he was in the habit in general of eating and drinking whatever money he made, he would spend right away that day on his food. So Amar Le'Barte, so his daughter said to him, Lobas Midi Le'Mizgalei, maybe you should save up some money to buy a mattress so that you could sleep on something. You spend all the money you make every single day. So Amar La Biti Crazy Kari, he said, what are you talking about? I have this nice big stomach, that's my mattress, and I'm perfectly comfortable with it. Hinach Nafshe Shava Kava de Morika, when he died, he left a kava of saffron, which is apparently very inexpensive. He left, meaning just a little bit over that he didn't get a chance to spend yet. So Kara Nafshe Vazvil Acherim Chelam, and he lamented that he shouldn't have left it over, that he felt bad that he didn't get to spend everything. That he thought it was always a good idea to spend whatever he can, because you never know what kind of use is going to be made of your money after you're gone. Okay, says the Mishnah. A person sells his field to a non-Jew. So he should buy back and bring from it bikurim because of tikkun olam. What does that mean, buy back and bring from it bikurim? So Rashi says that means if a person sold his field to a non-Jew, one might think, so he doesn't have to, granted he did an Isser, he's not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, but he doesn't have to worry about it anymore, he doesn't have to worry about any of the payros or anything like that. So says Rashi, no, we make a knas on him that he has to go to that guy each and every year and buy from him the bikurim so that he could bring the bikurim, right? So in order to he's not pater from the mitzvah of bikurim, we make him buy back those fruits that are the bikurim so that he can go and bring the bikurim. And this is all in the Tikkun Olam. What's the Tikkun Olam? Says Rashi, Shelo Yehi Ragilim Kor Karka Beretz Sol V'Kavim V'Gam Imachar Yatriach Lachzor Achorev Liftos. So that people shouldn't get in the habit of selling land in Eretz Yisrael to Ovdei Kavim, and because even if you do sell it, it's going to be a nuisance. Every single year, you're going to have to go back and try to buy it back from him, buy back fruits from him every single year. It's not going to be worth it. You're not going to want to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy given that choice. Now that's how Rashi explains the Mishnah. It says Tosos, Lokeach maybe bikurim zugirsus akuntros to consinele lachs of likach menu, avalkule halo consinele likach menu lapchumus maestros. He says, according to Rashi, what do? We make a knas on him that he should have to go buy back the bikurim. Why don't we make a knas that he should have to go buy back the Trumos and Maestros? So Tosos says, Kulei Hai Lo Kansina. It's a knas. We just have to make it annoying for him to sell land. We don't need to make it super annoying, just enough to discourage him from doing it. So they didn't think that it was necessary to make a knas that he should have to buy back Trumos and Maestros as well. Now, the other Rishonim give more of a reason why they chose to make the knas Dafka on Bikurim and not in Trumos and Maestros. I mean, I would have thought if he can make the knas on anything, so make it that he has to buy Trumos and Maestros from them. Why is Dafka the Knas on Bikurim? So the Tos Harash explains that no, that the reason they chose the Knas on Bikurim and not Trumos and Maestros is that when a Jew owns the field himself, he's always going to be Chayiv in Bikurim. But there's a way to get out of Trumos and Maestros. A person could be Machnes Peros of Derech Gagos, Chatzeros of Karfifos. A person could take in his fruits Derech Hagag through a skylight or something in the roof, and then he's Pater for Maestros, because it's not a normal Re'ias Pnei Abayis. The only time that a person is Chayiv in Maestros is if he brings it, the food really becomes Tevel Midaraisa, is a person brings in the food in the normal way through the front door. But if he brings it Derech Gagos, so then he has the ability to pater himself from Trumos and Maestros. So since he has the ability to get himself out of it anyway, so we're not going to make a knas to buy the Trumos and Maestros back. But that which he has no ability to get out of, that's where we're going to make the knas. Anyway, but that's all Rashi's pshat. It says, Tosos, Miu Kashal Arbeinu Tam, the Gemara Maisi Raya Mehadi Yesh Kini Lovi Chavim, the Mnei Tikun Olam In, Dor Raisa Lo. The Gemara is going to bring a Raya from our Mishnah that the guy has a Kinyan to be Mafkiya the Chiyuv of all the chiyuvim, because we say that it's only mipnei tikkun olam that you have to buy back the bikurim, but on a daraisa level you wouldn't have to buy back the bikurim. Minale, how does the Gemara know that? Dilma tikkun olam kai ahad chivu likach. Maybe the tikkun olam element is not that that's why there's a chiyuv once you buy it back to bring it as bikurim. No, maybe tikkun olam is the fact that you're chayiv to buy these fruits to bring as bikurim. That's tikkun olam, because no one's going to say that on daraisa level, even if when the guy owns the land, it still has kedusha to be chayiv in shumas and maestros and bikurim, no one's going to say you have a chiv to buy it, to make it, to make it so that you could do the mitzvah bikurim. It's just that the land still has kedusha. So if at the time that the fruits become chayiv in shumas, maestros, or bikurim, you happen to be the owner of those fruits, you should then give that produce for you should then do the mitzvahs with that produce. But to say that you have to buy it back to create the mitzvah, who's going to say such a thing? Why would we say such a thing? So it says maybe that's so that must be only mibnei tikkun olam. That's not a megala that the land itself has no kedusha, and that it's the fact that there's any mitzvah whatsoever associated with this land is a tikkun olam issue. So says Tosfos, it's a different pshat. The Mishnah is not saying that we make a knas that you have to buy back the fruits to bring as bikurim. Rather, Vomar Rabbeinu Tam, the Barov Sorm Logar Sinon Umevi Bevav. You have to change the gears in the Mishnah. It's not Lokeach, you buy the fruits, Umevi Bikurim, and you bring them as bikurim. Vachikamar, Kaladam Alokeach, Men Umevi Bikurim, Loshna Mocher, Loshna Acher. It's Lokeach, Mevi Bikurim. The lokeach, whoever buys it from the guy, whether it be the person who originally sold it to him, or whether it be someone else, that guy brings the bikurim. So you'll ask, well, isn't that pasha that guy brings the bikurim? Now he's a Jew that owns the field. No, the point is, even if he buys it after the chiyuv bikurim would have been chal, so he buys it after the fruits start to grow. So even though he bought it later, still he may be bikurim. And that's a knas mipnei tikkun olam. Rabbeinu Chananel garas halokeach may be v'chein b'Yerushalmi. And the gersa of Rabbeinu Chananel and the Yerushalmi is halokeach mevi bikurim, meaning again, like Rabbeinu Tam, that whoever happens to buy it should be the one to bring the bikurim. What's the tikkun olam in this? That whoever buys it brings the bikurim. So the tikkun olam apparently is that everyone's going to realize that there's kedusha on the karka. Meaning this will cause everyone to realize that there's still kedusha on the karka. So that will cause people to want to be poed to the karka, because they're going to realize that if they buy it, even though the chiyuv bikurim has already been chal already, still they're going to have to bring the bikurim, because apparently there was kedusha on the karka the entire time. So it's going to encourage people to want to be poed to the karka. Says Gemara, Amar Rabba, Afal pi shein kinyan lo v'chavim beretz shol lafkiya midei meiser, shenemar ki li ha'aretz, li kedusha sa'aretz. Even though a guy does not have the ability through acquiring land, through ownership of the land, to uproot the chiyuv of maestros, because after all, pasuk says ki li ha'aretz, that the kedusha sa'aretz is always in God's hands. But when a guy buys land in Eretz Yisrael, he is permitted to dig into the land, to dig Boroshich Numaros in the land. Hashem has the Shemaim, but the Aretz he's given to mankind to be able to work on. Rabbi Lazar says the opposite. That no, even though a guy has the ability to acquire land in Eretz Yisrael to remove from it the chiyuv trumas and maestros, aval ein kivim lo v'chavim beretz Yisrael lachba b'boroshich numaros shnemal Hashem ha'aretz. But he does not have the ability to dig boroshich numaros in the land, because the pasuk says Lashem ha'aretz, that the land belongs to Hashem. So
that's an asking. If you sell it, who cares if
Yes, so that's going to be exactly. We're going to see rayas in the Gemara to one side or the other. All those rayas are going to be nafkaminas. But exactly, if someone buys, so b'maykumifdi, what's the machlokas? So what's the root of the machlokas? Mar sover digun chavalo digun over chavim, umar sover digun chavalo digun over chavim. One says that digunha only your grain that you own, and not grain owned by non-Jews, and the other one says no, it's not grain that you own, it's digunha. The digun, if the preparation of that grain, that when it becomes chayvin trumas or ma'aser, is in your rishos, that's when it's chayiv, but not when the digun happens in the yad of the chavim. If it grew in the karka of the chavim and you bought it while it was still in bundles, and then you did the miruach hakri, it's chayiv in maestro, because karka eretz shol in the hands of a guy, it's not mufka from its kedusha. So that's exactly the nafkamina, right? If it grew while it was in the guy's possession, so if the guy has kinyan to be oker from trumas and maestros, so even though you buy it before the miruach, that produce is not Trumas Maisos, it's not produce that's eligible to be Chayiv in Trumas Maisos. But if the guy does not have a kinyan to be Mafkia, so when the guy has it, obviously he's not going to be Mafrish. But if you buy it before the Miruach, so that produce has a Chiyuv on it, and the Chiyuv, it has the Kedusha on it, even though it grew while it belonged to a guy, because the guy doesn't have such a kinyan. And when you did the Miruach, you created a Chiyuv of Trumas Maisos. Amar Rabba Mina Amina Las. Rabba says, where do I know my din from? So where do I know my din from? Meaning, what's my raya that I'm correct that when I say that the guy does not have a kinyan to uproot the chiyuv of maestros, but he does have a kinyan to dig baruchich and ma'aros. The achronim all ask, how can you have a kinyan? The mechas chinuch mitzvotav chavav asks the question, how can you have a kinyan? How can a guy have a kinyan to be able to be chav for baruchich and ma'aros, or to be able to do anything really? Generally, we have the Gemara in Tumura says, kol mosl dam rachman lo savri yavad lo mahani. Anytime the Torah says don't do something, when you do what the Torah doesn't do, what you did is not chal. It doesn't work. So if the Torah says losichanim that you're not allowed to sell land to a guy, so shouldn't we say yavad lo mahani that it doesn't work? That his kinyan should be a totally invalid kinyan. You may not have the koch to throw him off the land, but shouldn't we say that it's lo mahani that he should not be able to be chofer baruchich lemaros? And the Cheskinuch leaves it as a kasha. But anyway, so says Rabbi Mina Amina Lo. Where do I know my din from? The Tanan halakat vashicha vapeah shalov richavim chayavim meiser elam kein hifker. If you have leket shichopeah of a guy, it's chayiv in meisros unless it was made hefker. So what are we talking about? Leket shichopeah of a guy. Hechidami. If you want to tell me the field belonged to a Jew and a guy was picking like a shechopeah from it, elam kein hefker hamafker v'kaimi. What do you mean that unless he made it hefker? It is hefker. If a Jew leaves like a shechopeah, by definition it's hefker. So what, it doesn't make sense to say elam kein hefker unless he made it hefker. Elav must be what's the case David chavim that we're dealing with like a shechopeah that belongs to a guy, meaning the field belongs to a guy. V'laktinu Yisrael, and a Jew took the leket shechopeah. So time of the hifkir, halo hifkir chayiv. The only time it would be chayiv, it would be pater rather in Trumas Maestros, is if the guy made it hefker. But had the guy not made it hefker, it would be chayiv in Trumas Maestros. So you see that the guy does not have a kinyan in the land to uproot the chayiv of Trumas Maestros. Hefker in general is pater from Trumas Maestros. That wouldn't be a problem. But if it weren't hefker, he'd be chayiv in Trumas Maestros, even though it grew in the possession of a guy. So you see, the guy guy does not have a kinyan to uproot the chiyuv of Trumas Maestros. So that's where I know my din from. So says Gemara, lo, that's not a raya at all. The olam, the yisrael, the latino of the chav. Maybe the first way we said it was really correct. The field belonged to a Jew, and it was a guy who was taking the leket shechopeah. I was a problem with that. With garmit hamafkari v'kaimi, that it's already hefker, and he the mafkari adait to the yisrael adait of the chav mi mafkari. No, it only became hefker adait to that a Jew can come and take from it. He never, the owner of the field, the Jewish owner of the field, never made it hefker that a guy should be able to take from it. So that's what we're saying. It's chayv in Trumas Maestros unless he's mafker it klape the guyim as well. Tashma, another raya. Yisrael shalakach sada me'ovid chavim ad shlo v'yashlish. If a Jew bought a field from a guy before the fruits grew to one third of their growth, v'chazur machro lo mishay v'yashlish, then the Jew held on to it for a little bit and sold it back to the guy after the fruits had already grown one third of their growth. So chayevis b'meiser shekvar neschayva. So it's going to be chayev and meiser because at the time that the fruits grew to the extent that they should be chayev and meiser, they were in the possession of a Jew. So if a Jew were to ever buy those fruits back from the guy now, even though the guy owned it when it was picked from the ground, if the Jew were to buy it back from the guy, he'd be chayev to take meisers from it because it grew to the point where the fruits are going to be chayev and meiser while it was in the possession of a Jew. So what do you see? Neschayva inlo, neschayva lo. If it would have grown purely in the guy's possession, and then you buy it, the second he picks it from the ground, we see that it would not be chayva in maestros. So you see the guy has a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael to be mafkia from the chiv of Trumas and Maestros, because after all, if it would have grown totally in his possession, it would not be chayv and Maestros. So answers the Gemara, no. Hachem ha'eskinu b'soria v'ksavar kibush yachlo shmei kibush. We're only dealing with Maestros to Rabbana now, because we're dealing with Soria, where it was only a kibush yachid, so it doesn't have a full-fledged dinda or raisa of a chiv Trumas and Maestros, so that's why we have such a kula in Soria. But had it been Eretz Yisrael proper, then even if it would have grown while in the possession of a guy, still would have been chayv. Now the case of the Brisa is a little bit strange. The Brisa needed to come up with a case where the fruits grew to one-third their growth while it was in the possession of a Jew, right? And then afterwards it went into the possession of a guy. So why does it have to say that you bought the field from a guy while the fruits had started to grow but weren't one-third, and then you sold it back to him after they grew one-third? Why don't we just say you had a field and you sold it to him after they grew, after your fruits grew one-third? Why do we have to make it that the field originally belonged to the guy and then you bought it from him? It seems totally unnecessary in the case. All we're trying to say is that they grew a shlish while they were in the Jew's possession. So the Marsha asked this kasha, and the Marsha says, maybe the Bryce is coming, he says, phenomenal chiddush really, he says, maybe the Bryce is trying to come up with a case where you didn't violate an Isra of Lo Sichanim. They want to keep the Isra of Lo Sichanim out of it. Well, you didn't do anything wrong by selling it back to a guy. So since it was a guy's land at first, and you just bought it from him, so when you sell it back to him, it's not an Isra of Lo Sichanim. So the Achronim asking the Marsha, what's he talking about? When you buy land from a guy in Eretz Yisrael, selling it back to him isn't Lo Sichanim? What difference does it make if I bought it from the guy originally or I owned it originally myself? What difference does it make? It should be Lo Sichanim is Lo Sitin Lam Chaniya Bekarka. You're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. Why should it make a difference if the guy owned it once? Maybe what the Marsha means is that not that any time you purchased it from him once, it's not going to be Lo Sichanim. Maybe what he means is the case is you only purchased it Lizman. The original deal was that you only bought it for a set amount of time, and the time was up, and therefore you had to sell it back to him. So if that's the case, that might not be Lo Sichanim, because it's not that you're coming up with the idea of selling him land that you owned. You only owned it for a specific amount of time, and your time is simply up. So maybe that's what the Marsha means. That's why it would be a case that it's not Lo Sichanim. Anyway, says Gemara another raya. Tashma Yisolva V'chom Shalvaku Sada B'Shutfus. If you have a Jew and a non-Jew who buy a field B'Shutfus, they're partners together in a field. Tevel V'chulim U'Ravin Zebezet Divir Rebbe. So the all the produce is half tevel, half chulim. So says Rashi, you don't view it as 50% of the field. One side of the field is tevel, the other side is chulin. Now, one side of the field is chayvim ma'aser because it's the Jew's side, and the other side is chulin because they didn't buy the field as you take half, I take half. They bought the field b'shutfus. They each own the entire 50% of the entire field. So that's why each piece of wheat, each chita, is considered half tevel, half chulin, according to Rabbi. No, whatever the Jew takes is it's a glay milson mafreya that was his the whole time, right? We say yesh breira. Whatever the Jew takes is going to belong to the Jew and be chayiv in trumas u'maisos, and whatever the guy takes is going to be part from trumas u'maisos. But what do you see? Ad kalno pliyel the marsav yesh breira marsav rein breira. They're arguing about a breira issue. Aval tukuli alma yesh kini lo v'chom v'chol afkiyam yam meiser. But everyone would agree that if it, whatever grew while it was in the guy's possession, even if the Jewish partner, let's say, were to pick all the fruits from the field, all the wheat from the field, the Jewish partner were to buy from the guy his wheat, it would still be putter. Why? Because the guy apparently does have a chiyuv, does have a kinyan rather, in Eretz Yisrael to be mafkia mian meiser. That if it grew while it was in a guy's possession, it's not chayv in meisros. So it says in Gemara, it's not a raya either. Hachnami b'Surya, v'ksav v'kibush yachad lo shmei kibush. That was also dealing in Surya, and kibush yachad is lo shmei kibush. So since it was only midrabanan, it's only chayv midrabanan, so the rabbanan weren't mechayv b'chei gavna, and therefore it's not a raya at all to what the halacha would be in Eretz Yisrael proper. There's a Chuvas Marsham in Chelek Beis and Reish Chav Beis. The Marsham was asked a shayla of a case of Beis Shutfin Bechanos Mikli Kesav Azav. He had two partners that owned a store jointly that sold gold and silver, expensive kelim. The Hishel Echad Me'a Shutfin Taba'as Le'echad Le'kadesh Bo Shalo B'yedi HaShutfo. One of the partners in the store gave his friend a ring from the store, or whatever, a gold ring from the store, to be Mekadesh Shanisha with. The guy was getting married, his friend was getting married, he knew that his friend was a jeweler, so one of the partners, without asking the other partner, gave a ring to the guy, and he gave it as a Matana Gemura to the Chassan to be Mekadesh with. So what's the first question the Masada Kiddushin always asks under the Chuppah at a wedding? Is this ring yours? Did you buy it? Right? It has to belong to the Chassan, right, in order for him to be Mekadesh Shanisha with it. Now over here, this ring was, maybe it was that part of this, maybe this was from the half of the story that belongs to the other guy. So the Marsham, actually the Shoel, brings Rashi Mem Zayin Mem Beis and Gittin as a raya that it's that she's Mekadeshes, that it works. Because when you have two Shutfin in the entire story, you don't say that a ring, well, assuming like Rebbe, obviously, that a ring is going to this ring is going to belong totally to this person, and another ring will belong totally to the other partner. No, kalchita v'chita in the field that is chetzi tevel chetzi chulin, right? Is split down the middle. So as long as he said the half the ring is worth a shava pruta, as long as you have the ring is worth at least two prutas, so then it's, she's still going to be mukudeshes because it's in the, at least half the ring is he was entitled to take and to give to him, and he had true ownership over. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, another raya, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav and Tashma, Hamocher Sadei Lovid Chavim Lokech Umevi Bikurim Netikun Olam. Our Mishnah, right, our Mishnah says, if you sell your field to a non-Jew, you should buy back the, let's assume like Rashi, you should buy back the fruits each year, the Bikurim fruits each year, and the purpose of that is Netikun Olam. Only mipnei tikkun olam, says the Gemara, mipnei tikkun olam in midarais halo. Does that mean to say that you only take it back because of tikkun olam? If a guy, and but on a darais level, you wouldn't have to take it back. Says Rashi, v'ein kinyan lovid chav mafkiyam kedushasa. If a guy didn't have a kinyan to uproot the kedusha from the land, have you lived in kedushasa b'rishus Yisrael kilumashkana? It should be regarding the kedusha. It should still be considered in the Yisrael's rishus as if it's a mashkan by the guy. V'kivan de bikurim mitzvah derami al. And since the Bikurim is a mitzvah that you chayev in, v'lo tavli lesser peros ba'achila michayev likach lahavi v'lo dami l'maiser. So then Rashi gets into why it's not similar to maiser. Whatever, we'll leave that out for now. But the point is that if the raya is that if the guy if the guy had a kinyan to be mafkia the land from its chiyuvim, then then there would be no chiyuv whatsoever. There would be no chiyuv daraisa. But if a guy had a kinyan to be, if a guy did not have a kinyan to be mafkia the land from its chiyuvim, you should have a chiyuv daraisa to go buy back those fruits, to go buy back that produce. So Ravashi shtei takanos havu. Now really there was a double takana. Meikaru av amaisi midaraisa. Originally in a chinami, you're right. On a daraisa level, you have to go and buy back those fruits for bikurim and bring back those fruits. Vekiven dechazu dekamikri imazbini desavri b'dushayu kaimen takinu luhu telo lesu. But since they saw that people, how did people react to that original takana that you have to buy back the bikurim? They said, wow, so when we sell our land to Gaim, it still remains kadosh. So we're not actually doing anything bad when we sell our land. We still have the Kedusha on the land. So people started selling their land to Gaim. And so then they made a takana that you should not bring the Bikurim when you sell the land to Gaim, because they saw that it wasn't good, that people were it was encouraging Lo Sechanim, it was just encouraging people to want to sell the land. So Kivin the Chazit demanded Lo Sagile Mizban Mekamishtakim Bialav Lichavim Hadu Tekinu Ledelesu. But then they saw people who needed money badly would sell the land and wouldn't go and buy back the Bikurim. So the Bikurim was remaining in the hands of the Avdei Chavim and it was accomplishing nothing. So then they made a takana that you have to go, and they went back to the original takana. They went back and said, no, you have to go and buy back the Bikurim like the Din D'oraisa really suggests. So in a chinami, it is a Din D'oraisa. We call it Mipnei Tikkun Olam because we went through a few takanos in order to get back to the Din D'oraisa, but really maybe it is a Din D'oraisa that you need to go and buy back the produce from him. Now let's take a look at the second half of Rashi. Now Rashi deals with why is this any different than Meiser? Why is it by Meiser you wouldn't have a chiyuv to buy back? So it says Rashi, v'lo dami l'meiser da'afilu man yamar ein kinyan lo mechayv la'asra al chelko shalov v'kachavim de Meiser tavil va'asalei ba'achila v'lav mitzvah deramya alehi elim kein ochlan. So he says, interesting, it's different than Meiser. By Meiser, even if you hold the guy does not have a kinyan to be mafkir the chiyuv of Meiser, you wouldn't have to go and buy back the food just to be mafresh maisos on it. Because maiser is a din, is not a din that every field that has kedusha you have to take maisos from. Maiser is a din that if you want to eat the food, you got to take maisos from it. Let's say you have a field and you're just not hungry and you have no one to sell the food to. You have nowhere to bring the food. You just want the food to sit there and rot away. You have no chiv of separating chumas and maisos. The chiv of chumas and maisos, Rashi says, is only if you're interested in eating the food. So you don't have to go and buy back the food so that you can be interested in eating it so that you can take chumas and maisos. But Bikurim is a chiyuv on the field. It doesn't make a difference what you're interested in doing with it. Bikurim, you have to go and you have to take it. Bikurim mitzvah deramya alehi. Bikurim is a mitzvah that's chal on you. There's a taz in Yeridea that says that you're chayev to be mafresh shumas ma'isos even if you don't want to eat the field. But all the achronim ask, the taz is against this Rashi. Right? The taz seems to be totally against this Rashi in Gittin Memzayin. Shailas shuvs tuv tam v'das chelik alef simin yev alef asks on the taz that he's against this gemara. This is similar. You have such a chelik other places also where, for instance, the Netziv writes in Yevamos that the difference between chalitza and a get. Let's say a woman is not interested in really getting remarried. She's separated from her husband, but she's 90 years old, she doesn't plan on getting remarried anyway. Is there any mitzvah for the husband to give a get if the woman's not interested, she doesn't care, she doesn't want to get remarried anyway? So the Netziv writes, no, there's no mitzvah to give a get. A get is only if you want to get remarried. Chalitza, on the other hand, though, let's say a woman's not interested in getting remarried. Do you need to do chalitza? Is it necessary to do chalitza? So the Gemara always refers to chalitza as mitzvahs chalitza. The reason it refers to it as mitzvahs chalitza is because you have to do it anyway, even if there's no interest. Right? Similar chiluk to what Rashi is making over here. Sometimes it's only if you want to put yourself in the situation of eating the food, that's when you're chayv in maestros. But by bikurim, you have to do anyway. Itmar, hamochas adeil the peros. A person sells his field only for the peros shabo. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, maybe v'kore. Rabbi Yochanan says, you bring the bikurim and you read the parshas bikurim. Rish Lakish Amar, maybe ve'eino kore. Rish Lakish says, you bring the bikurim, but you don't read the parshas habikurim. Now, why the hesitancy to read the parshas of Bikurim? What's parshas of Bikurim already? It's some psukim. It's not like a bracha. I mean, sometimes if you have a suffix, you wouldn't want to make a bracha because you have a chashash bracha levatala. Over here, why wouldn't you be korei? It's not a bracha levatala. It's just reading psukim in the Torah. So Shar Mitzion Balach over here says that no, the point is that it's going to be mechsi kashikra. That if it's something that we're not sure that you really chayiv, so it's mechsi kashikra if you say the parshas of Bikurim that this is what I was chayiv to do. Or it could be that it's that al yedei kein that you read the parsha of Bikurim, people will think it as a full status of Bikurim, and you'll be mafkir it from Trumas and Maestros. Whereas if it's a suffix, it should still be chayiv in Trumas and Maestros. So for that reason, we have to make it different. So eino kore, that's what Rish Lakish says. Rabbi Yochanan Amar mevi v'kore. Rabbi Yochanan says you're mevi v'kore because kinyan peros kinyan aguftami. Because when you buy the peros of the karka, that's when you buy a karka le peros of. So you're buying, it's like buying the gufa karka itself. Right, when a person only bought the peros of a karka, Rish Lakish Amar maybe, and therefore he's able to read the parshas of Bikurim that this is from the land that you gave me, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rish Lakish Amar maybe ve'eino kare. Rish Lakish says no, you don't read the parshas of Bikurim. Kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami, because kinyan peros does not have the status of kinyan aguf. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish ula veischa melamid sha'adam maybe bikurei ishto v'kare. We see that a person brings his wife's Bikurim and he reads and he says the parsha the mikra bikurim. So Amalei, no, he says shiny asim duchsiv uleveischa. No, over there it's different. Even though, meaning the raya was he only has a kinyan peros in his wife's stuff, right? In his wife's nechassim, all he has is a kinyan peros. And yet we see he brings the bikurim and he does the mikra bikurim. So he says no, over there it's a special drush and a pasuk that he does it. But generally speaking, he wouldn't do the mikra bikurim on something that he only has a kinyan peros in. Now, Frekt Tosos, wait a second. Minatora, the husband does not get the peros of his wife's nechassim. It's only a takana derabbanan. So how can the Torah be telling me that he brings his wife's bikurim because he has a kinyan peros in his wife's stuff? On a daraisa level, he doesn't have a kinyan peros in his wife's stuff. So Tosos says a fascinating yisod. I think he says it elsewhere in Shas also. He says a fascinating yisod. Even if halakhically he doesn't have a kinyan in his wife's peros on a daraisa level, it was always the normal thing to do, that a wife gives her husband a kinyan peros. Even though it wasn't required, it was always the accepted norm. Sometimes the Torah will speak to a case of the norm, even if it's not something that was an actual chiyuv. And he gives another example for this. He says you have the same thing in Kiddushin, where the pasuk says, Maisi Adel Avia Dekam Mitzin Aminei, where the pasuk refers to the fact that the father gets the ma'aseh yadayim because she gets mizonos from him. Now, on a daraisa level, the father doesn't have to give the mizonos to his daughter. Why then would the Torah speak to a case of the father giving mizonos to the daughter? Because it was always the normal thing to do. So sometimes the Torah will speak to a case, even if it's not a chiyuv, but where it's the normal thing to do, the Torah will make that assumption that was actually done. You have the same thing by Ksuba. Rashi says that the difference between a pilegesh and a On a Daraisa level, the Gemara says the difference between Pilagish and Nisha is that Pilagish was without Ksuba. So the Ramban on Chumash asks, how can Rashi say that Pilagish was without Ksuba? Ksuba might not be Daraisa according to after Shittas and Tanan. Ksuba is not Daraisa. How could that be the Daraisa difference? The answer is, it was always normal to give a Ksuba, even though it wasn't a Chiyuv. And that was the defining line between Pilagish and Nisha.